And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. It is time for Power of Prophecy, and I'm Tex Mars. Great to be with you again. You know, we have a wonderful program today because I'm going to be talking about a book I have in my hands, a tremendous book by none other than Martin Luther. Martin Luther. It's his classic warning about the Jews and their vile hatred of Jesus. It's entitled On the Jews and Their Lies. You know, I didn't even know this book existed, and then about 25 or 30 years ago, somebody mentioned to me, they asked me, had I ever read Martin Luther's book on the Jews and their lies? Well, I didn't even so much as know that Martin Luther had ever written such a book. I told them, where can I get that book? And they sort of smiled at me. They said, we just wanted to test you, Tex Mars. We just wanted to see if you'd say that you had read it. Because you've seemed to have read every book in the world. We wanted to see if you read that one. Well, I said, well, you've tested me. That's one I have not read. And the gentleman said, well, it's because it's not available. It's been banned for over 500 years by the Vatican and by influential Jews. And I said, banned? Banned? Martin Luther? They said, that's right. That's one of only two books that have ever been banned that Martin Luther wrote. Now, folks, listen, I didn't know whether the person was telling me the truth or not, and I decided to do some research. This was the days before, you know, we really had Google and Yahoo and all of these online search engines and so forth. And I did my research, and I found out that, in fact, Martin Luther was the author of a book called On the Jews and Their Lies, and there was an American edition published about 50 years ago, but then it suddenly just, whoop, went out of print. And you can't go anywhere and get this book. You can't even go to your library and get it. Evidently, Jews have been assigned the task of going around to libraries and checking out the book, and then they never return it. Well, the library cannot get a copy to replace it because it's not printed anywhere. Now, this is exactly why I have printed other books, The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. I found out you really couldn't get it. And there are other books that we've printed here at Power of Prophecy, Synagogue of Satan and others. And nobody would touch them in the entire United States of America. Why? Because Jews own all the publishing houses in New York, the major city where books are published. And they're not going to publish any book that is against the Jews. This is why, folks, we only have propaganda in America. Establishment writers are afraid of this. Now, Martin Luther, in the 16th century, back in the 1500s, was he and the Pope were the two most well-known religious figures in the entire world. He is still known today in every seminary, every Bible school in America. Well, he was till maybe 15 or 25 years ago. As the Jews have gained more and more power in America, they have strangled books such as On the Jews and Their Lies. Now, when I was a young man, I grew up reading and understanding what Martin Luther did. He's the guy that wrote, 95 Theses about the Catholic Church? He was a Catholic priest, but he saw the vice, the horrible degradations of the other priests and of the Pope and of the cardinals and all of their sexual and other sins. And especially that they were paying indulgences. They were paying money to get out of purgatory, basically, or for their loved ones to get out of purgatory. Yes, your father died. Well, he's going to have to spend many years being punished in purgatory before he goes to heaven. But we can rush it. We can make his time in purgatory very little if you're willing to pay. He said that's crooked. That's evil. You can't, he said, your works are not as important as your faith. It's only through faith that you're saved. Then your works come because you want to work. You want to do what's right for Jesus Christ. They tell him, well, that's not true. You've got the wrong idea. You're going against the Pope of Rome. You can be excommunicated, and he was excommunicated. I mean, you can't go around saying, believe in Jesus Christ and ye shall be saved. You can't go around saying things like that. People might believe it. Then they won't be paying us for salvation. You know, they say, I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. Well, you can light some candles and we'll have a service for you. Now, how much can you pay per month? You know, we got this pay plan for salvation. Oh, they were doing worse things than that, much worse. Now, he was a great champion of the true Christian faith. He was one of the founders, the principal founder, in fact, of the Protestant church. Protesting, that's what Protestant means, of course. They were protesting the corruption of Rome, of the Pope. The Holy Roman Empire called Martin Luther to come to a court. They had a court for him. They had a trial for him. And they told him, don't say any more. Just shut up. But he kept talking, kept telling people the truth. And the common people believed him, and then a few of the German princes believed him. He was German, you see. And they protected him. The Catholic Church sent its agents everywhere throughout Europe looking for Martin Luther to kill him. He had to go into hiding for many years. But he continued to write. Did you know he loved to write religious hymns? H-Y-M-N-S. Religious hymns. He wrote an entire book just of hymns. He wrote a translation of the Bible. And it's just like the King James Bible. Just a few words are sort of different. And those words don't really, you know, they're sort of, they can go either way. Imagine, before the King James, there was a King James Bible, you could say, in a way, by Martin Luther, the Martin Luther edition. This hymn book, by the way, maybe you've been to one of the old-style churches like I have, and they sang the book, the song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Isn't that a great old hymn? A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark, it's called. That may be an old word, but you know. A mighty fortress is our God. Isn't that true? He wrote that hymn. Many of the hymns that you sing in churches today, Martin Luther wrote them. He wrote many books on theology. He was a brilliant man. And then in the final 3 years of his life, he turned his attention to the Jews. Now, let me tell you something about Martin Luther. He was a compassionate man. He was a kind man. And he preached all his life too. And he was likely to give a sermon, just as likely to give a sermon criticizing a German nobleman or prince for mistreating the peasants. He didn't like that. He said, we're all the same before God. And the peasant may be more lowly in that, you know, he has to work the land. He doesn't own his own land. But he's trying to serve a good life before our God. And he would tell the princes, and you don't even give the man a chance. Some of the princes got angry at him for that. He stood up. He was called a common man's preacher. He stood up against Rome and even against the royalty of Europe for the common man. God sent protectors to Martin Luther. That's why he didn't die an early death. He died at age 63 of natural causes. Now, early in his life, he saw the Jews. Germany invited the Jews in. Many countries at that time did not, back in the 1500s, did not invite the Jews in, because the Jews had done so many horrible things to Christians throughout the centuries. And that's one thing, my friends, you don't really understand, but they did. They did terrible things to Christians. But Christians didn't know what was going on because they spoke a strange language, different words. They lived in the same city, but they had their own community, their own neighborhoods. And they had their own shops. And they did not allow or did not want the Gentiles to go into those places. They had their own cities within the cities. They practiced their own religion. They had their synagogues. And the Christians had their churches, Catholic and then Protestant. All three coexisted together in Germany. And the German princes gave each one full religious liberty to say and preach basically whatever you wanted. Now, looking around at the Jews, when he was a young man, Martin Luther had pity on them. He said, they need Jesus Christ. They don't know Christ. They can be good people if we just teach them about Christ. But he saw that some people were very angry toward the Jews, and some people wanted to do bad things toward the Jews. And he didn't understand this, and he said, we cannot do this to the Jews. We must be kind to them. He was so touched that he actually wrote a book. That Jesus Was a Jew was the title of it. Imagine, Martin Luther wrote a book, That Jesus Was a Jew. He said Jesus was a Jew too. Our Lord was a Jew. We must be kind to the Jews. We must bring them into our homes. We must invite them to our dinners. Let us be friends of them. When their community needs help, let us go into their community and give them a help. If they've had a weather storm or something has hurt their property, let us go in and rebuild for them. Let us do good to the Jews. And by so doing, maybe some will be moved to turn to Jesus. He thought that was the way to go. He did not like it at all that the Catholic Church was very harsh toward the Jews. He said, that's wrong. Be kind to the Jews. And then one day, an elderly man who was Jewish but had become a Christian, who had converted to Christianity, who knew Jesus Christ, but who also knew the Jewish religion and had gone to synagogue for many, many years and knew the evils, the hard, terrible things they were saying and doing against Jesus and against Mary, his mother, and against the Christian people, who knew of the horror of the Jewish faith, who even understood of the Jewish Talmud. That Jew came to Martin Luther one day. He said, Dr. Luther, the priest Martin Luther had become a doctor of theology and of the Bible. He said, Dr. Luther, you tell us to be kind to the Jews. I am a Jew, he said, but I am a Christian. You do not understand the Jews, he said. I do. I lived with the Jews. I know what they think. I know what they do. I know how much they hate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Martin Luther was touched. He asked himself, could I have been so mistaken? Could I be that mistaken that I have misled the Christian people? I have told them to be friends of the Jews no matter what the Jews do, and yet now I find out that the Jews are devils? Can that be? And he said, I'm going to, for the rest of my life, I'm going to study about the Jews. I want to find out the truth about the Jews. You see, the Jews would would rarely associate with Christians, but they had been coming to Luther's house even. He had invited the rabbis and the others to come to his house. Sort of reminds you of today, doesn't it? We want a dialogue with the Jews. The Christian and the Jewish rabbi and the Christian pastor want to meet together and invite the rabbi into your pulpit. Oh, yes, that's right. We want to learn about the Hebrew roots of Christianity and blah, blah, blah. Judaizers, the Bible calls people like that. And Martin Luther, when he studied the Jewish Talmud, oh, my goodness, he found out what the Jewish Talmud was. The Jewish Talmud is their halakha, the holy law of the Jews. It has their 813 laws and all of the explanations for them. He also studied the Jewish Kabbalah, and he learned the magic, the mysticism, the witchcraft of the books of the Kabbalah, the Zohar, and so forth. And he said, are these things in the Kabbalah? Do the Jews believe in these things? Do the rabbis teach these things? Yes, they do. And then he asked of the Talmud, he said, there's so many horrible things in here about us as Christians. And they even say that the best of the Christians should be killed. They say that Jesus, in their own Talmud, he discovered that they say that Jesus was a bastard. He was born to Mary, who was a whore. That Mary had sexual relations with a blacksmith, with a Roman centurion, and with others. And that Jesus was an illegitimate bastard. They lie, and they lie. And he asked himself, why do they say such terrible things about this plain, simple Jewish woman who loved Jesus, her son, so much, who did nothing to them? What has Mary ever done to the Jews? What has she done to deserve this? He asked himself. And what did Jesus ever do that was so bad? They crucified, they nailed him to a cross. Wasn't that enough? Must they now, 1,500 years later, crucify him again? But oh, he learned much more. He learned that in the synagogues there were certain rituals, and that they have a Jewish prayer that they say three times a day. And in this prayer, they damn every Christian. They actually put a curse, a spell on Christians, and ask that they be damned forever. He discovered that when a Jew walks past a Christian church on the sidewalk, he grabs his crotch and spits three times. When a Jew walks past a Christian cemetery, he grabs his crotch and spits on the ground three times to disrespect, to show his hate toward those who died in Christ Jesus, and to show his disrespect and his disregard for those who would worship in a church that has a cross on it. Why do they do such things, he said. We Germans don't do these things. We invite these people into our homes. We give them meals. We feed them. We help them when they're in need. Why are they doing this to us? And this magic, this witchcraft, this is wrong, he said. And many, he looked around Germany and he discovered that many Germans were believing in the Jews. And the Jews pretended to be pious and respectful and so loving and humanitarian. But he realized they were devils. They were devils. He said, he concluded, he said, before you invite one of these people into your homes, imagine, think, those same lips of the Jew every Saturday would go into their synagogue and spew such hatred toward you as a Christian and toward the one whom you love so much, who gave his life on the cross, who died for our sins, our Lord Jesus Christ. They hate him so much. Well, Martin Luther decided he was going to do what he could to tell people about this. While there are so many German preachers out there that would say, oh, the Jews are okay, they're all right, who had never even studied the Kabbalah, who did not know about these magic words and this mysticism and magic and witchcraft, who had not studied the Talmud, who did not know that the Talmud said that a Christian young woman was a whore, was a slut, who it says in the Talmud that a Jew must cheat, yes, will cheat in court, a Gentile every time. And it even says that if you're a doctor, if you're a Jewish doctor, you must kill them secretly. Yes, kill the Gentiles secretly. He wondered how many Christians had been killed over the years. And he realized how much the rabbis and the Jews hated the Christians. Above all people on earth, over the Muslims and the Hindus and the others, he realized they hated Christians the most. Why? Because we represent Jesus Christ. We're the ambassadors for Jesus Christ on this planet. They're not worried about the Muslims. They're not worried about the Hindus. They hate Christians. They hate Jesus. Their whole religion is aimed toward despising Christians. It was not always so in the Old Testament. And many things in the Old Testament, Martin Luther read, and he discovered that there were hundreds of prophecies that told of Jesus coming. If they had only read those prophecies, Martin Luther concluded in this book on the Jews and their lives, if they had only read those prophecies, they would believe in Jesus. Because the Old Testament speaks of Jesus. It tells that he will be a poor man. It tells that he will ride into the city on a donkey. It explains everything. It explains that he will bring salvation to the people and bring even a new covenant. Everything is explained in the Old Testament. If they had understood the Old Testament, they would understand the New Testament. If they understood their Old Testament, they would know that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. So they changed the Old Testament. The Jews did. They changed the wording. They misinterpreted the 70 weeks of Daniel. They said, no, there was only 69 weeks. The 70th week is put off for the future. He said, no true Christian would believe that. And you know what? When Martin Luther was alive, no Christian did. But now every evangelical leader I know of believes that there were only 69 weeks in Daniel, and the 70th week was put off in the future and will happen someday. Why? Because the 70th week prophesies the coming of the Messiah, and the Jews did not want him to come. They did not believe that he did come. They rejected him. So they said the 70th week of Daniel has never occurred. Only 69 weeks occurred. But the Bible clearly says there will be 70 weeks allotted for your people and for the holy city. And the Jews could not abide by that. They couldn't put up with that. Martin Luther also carefully explained that in the Old Testament it says that the temple will remain until Shiloh comes. Actually, it doesn't say temple exactly. What it says is that the kingdom will remain in Judah's hands until Shiloh comes. Now, the third temple was built by Herod. The third temple was built by Herod, the great temple. And Herod built this incredible building, incredible edifice. There had been, of course, the tabernacle and Solomon's temple, and then now this third one. And Herod was made king by the Roman Caesar. Think about that. He was made king of Judea, Herod. But he wasn't even a Jew. He was an Idumean. He didn't really believe in the Jewish religion. But he was made king of Judea. In the Old Testament, it says that the kingdom will remain and will stand until Shiloh comes. Shiloh is the Messiah. the long-sought-for Messiah. Until he comes, you will have a kingdom. And Herod was made head of the kingdom. And during the time of Herod, in the 70th week of Daniel, Jesus came. The Messiah came in the 70th week, and the kingdom vanished. Jesus prophesied the end of the kingdom. He prophesied that the temple itself, this great edifice built by Herod, this building adored by all the Jews and all the peoples of the world as a wonder of the world, would be destroyed. And it was in 70 AD, just as Jesus prophesied. And Martin Luther thought about all those things and said, and nevertheless, the Jews will not believe in him. Their own Messiah, he came during the 70th week. And then the kingdom fell, just as he had prophesied. On the very day that Jesus died on the cross, the curtain, the holy curtain, was rent in two, torn in two by no human hands. It just was torn in two, and the Ark of the Covenant left. It left. I think the high priest must have been so shocked to see that occurred that they still didn't believe. And then he thought of Jesus' sacrifice and death. All this is in this book, On the Jews and Their Lies, by Martin Luther. He explains why he turned against the Jews and their teachings. Now, this is a man that loved the Jews, that invited them into his home, that wrote an entire book saying we need to be kind to the Jews. Now, I want you to understand that. You see, as I go around to today's churches and talk to Christian leaders, they tell me, well, you know, Martin Luther started out good, but he ended up an anti-Semite. Oh, he was an anti-Semite. And I've asked so many, I said, well, have you read his book on the Jews and their lies? No, I haven't. Is that why you say he was an anti-Semite? They say, oh, yes, that's it. He wrote that book. That made him an anti-Semite. So you would not agree with Martin Luther then? No, I wouldn't. Really? Martin Luther, my friends, tells you about what the Jews believe, what their Talmud teaches, how they have misinterpreted and lied and propagandized about even the Old Testament, how they have rejected the New Testament, how they willingly, voluntarily crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, how they cried out to Pilate, let his blood be on our heads and the heads of our children and their children. And he says, this Christians cannot abide with. Can you abide with that? Is that acceptable to you, what the Jews teach? On the Jews and their lies. Can you believe the lies of the Jews? Can you accept that? Well, if you don't believe that Mary was a whore and that Jesus was a sexual magician and a bastard, if you don't believe that, then you also are an anti-Semite. Think about it, friends. You see, I read Martin Luther's book, and there's a big gap. He died, I think, in the year, was it 1542? Around 1542. It's now 2015 almost. Now, how long ago was that? Almost 500 years. Almost 500. He and I are quite different. You know, he was only 9 years old when Columbus discovered America. He was a young man when America was discovered by Christopher Columbus. But there's very little in this book that I disagree with. I'm Tex Marge. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're looking at Martin Luther and his outstanding book on the Jews and their lies. We'll be back with much more when we return here on Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars. You know, this book, Martin Luther on the Jews and Their Lies, is a fantastic book. It's fantastic. I've read it over and over. There's so many little things that I missed the first time. Remember, he is a theologian, but he writes for the common man. I'm just a common man, I suppose, because, boy, it just really touches me. And, you know, he talks a little bit in here about the Muslims. He called them the Turks. And the Muslims were, well, they were a big problem because they had invaded Europe, and they had taken most of Spain. And at one time, if it hadn't been for one battle, they would have taken all of Europe, the Muslims. And, of course, the Jews, they were troublemakers, and, well, he talks a lot about the Jews in this book. And it is just that it is so amazing what he says about the Jews in this book. I mean, what he does, first of all, he defends Jesus. That's why I love this book. This isn't just some book that blasts the Jews because they're Jews. He doesn't talk about, you know, the hook noses of Jews and things like that. He talks about their spirituality, what they're teaching that are lies, and how they have impugned the integrity of our Lord and Savior. And he shows that they teach lies about their own Old Testament so as to mislead Christians. They want to mislead you so that you will not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. That's their whole goal. And it seems that the entire Jewish religion is aimed that way. It was in the 1500s when Martin Luther was alive, and it is today. It is today. You know, this is such an important book. I want you to have a copy. I want you to have a copy. Martin Luther, On the Jews and Their Lies. Now, the cover of this book says that this is Martin Luther's classic warning about the Jews and their hatred of Jesus. That's what it's about. It's not some anti-Semitic tract by somebody who hated Jews just because they were Jews. No, Martin Luther doesn't hate Jews because they're Jews, and Tex Mars doesn't. No one hates the Jews except a true anti-Semite. They do hate what the Jews teach. They do hate what the Talmud and the Kabbalah say about Jesus Christ, about his mother Mary. Now, the rabbis boast that Jews are divine gods on earth. They're their own Messiah. They're gods. What do they say about us non-Jews? Well, they say that we're nothing but dumb beasts. You're just a dumb beast. As a dumb beast, the only alternative for them is to kill you, because you're a useless eater. They should cheat you. They should rob you in the courts. They should not pay you a good wage. They should charge you high interest, high level interest, outlaw type interest on loans. They should get a nation, an entire nation, put them in handcuffs because of debt. And the best of the Gentiles should just be killed. You know, that's what the rabbis and the Jews taught back in the 1500s. Is it any better today? No. No, it's no better. Just a few months ago, I showed you that the chief rabbi in Israel today preached a sermon wherein he says that the Gentiles are nothing but donkeys. We're not better than donkeys, he says. Why? We're meant to serve the Jews. The Jews are the elite, upper class. They're the royalty. They're the kings. There will be a Jewish kingdom on earth, and they will be their own Messiah. And we, the Gentiles, must serve them. And if we don't, then we'll have to die. The Talmud says so. And the chief rabbi of Israel taught that. He's good friends with Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister. Was he preaching a lie? No, he was just preaching from the Babylonian Talmud. That's the holy book of the Jews. That's the holy book that Martin Luther studied. And that's why he taught these things in this book on the Jews and their lies. Is this so? Then don't call Martin Luther an anti-Semite. Did he lie about the Jews? If he did, then he is an anti-Semite. I haven't found a lie in here. The Talmud claims that Jesus is a bastard, a liar, a drunk, a sex magician, who, as a criminal, deserved to die. His mother Mary, well, she's alleged to have been a filthy whore who conceived Jesus during her menstrual period after illegitimate sex with Roman soldiers. Folks, there's not one shred of evidence for any of this. Why do they teach these things? Why is this in their Talmud? It's because of their hatred for Jesus. Why do they say a curse each week at synagogue? Why do they put a curse on us with their own lips? Well, now according to the Encyclopedia Judaica, the Orthodox Judaism, that's the religion of the Jews. It's the most, you know, conservative, and the ones where we see all the rabbis, and we generally think that most Jews are this way, teach in this religion. There's other Jewish denominations, of course, but this is the one most commonly known. The Encyclopedia Judaica says that Orthodox Judaism is the same today as it was back in the days of Jesus, in the days of the Pharisees. So these Orthodox Jews that preach Judaism and believe in it are the same ones. They're teaching the same doctrines that they did back in the time of Jesus. And what did Jesus say about the Jews' religion? Was Jesus an anti-Semite when he said that the Jews have for their religion the traditions of men and not of God? When they said, "We have Moses, our father," he said, "You do not have Moses. If you had Moses as your father, then you would believe in me," Jesus said to the Jews. Boy, this is a great book. This book has been banned. It's been censored. It's been burned for almost 500 years. Now, Martin Luther, the Catholics tried to kill him. The Catholic Church, that is, not the common day Catholic. They tried to kill him over and over. They excommunicated him from the church. And then when he wrote this book, the Jews got after him. And since his death, the Jews have tried to get this book stamped out. Well, we here at Power of Prophecy, we have been fortunate to get a translation of this. And we have this book. Let's see, it's, I told you before that it was, I think, 300-something pages. It's around 200. It all depends, you know, on the edition, you see. This is 231 pages. 231 pages. All, I wrote the foreword. It's, what, 15 pages or so in the foreword. But he, Martin Luther, with his own pen, wrote the book. And it's a great book. And I want you to have a copy of it. Now, for $20, please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25, you can order this great book. Now, there are a couple of other editions just like it on Amazon that are cheaper, but they're sort of abridged. I think one of them is like 30 or 50 pages. They take, you know, some parts out of it and just sort of say, hey, here it is, Martin Luther's The Jews and Their Lies. But this is the only book, as far as I know, that is the unabridged edition. The unabridged edition. Now, it's not available then anywhere else in English in an edition like this. I mean, this is a book you can take in your hands. You can take to the beach, lay on the beach, or you can lay on a snowbank. Depending on whether you live in Florida or Ohio, I suppose, or, you know, Duluth, Minnesota. But if you're there in Duluth, Minnesota, and you got a nice crackling fire, and you want something to read to really excite you, this is the book. Now, I know Martin Luther says some harsh things because he discovered harsh things that the Jews were teaching and believing. And he didn't want them to spread any further than they had already spread. Now, I don't agree with everything that Martin Luther said in his book, but 99% of it I do agree with. I think he got so frustrated at the Jews and their lies, He said maybe we ought to burn their house down and their and all their holy books and burn them all. Maybe we should kick them out of our country. Maybe they should go live among the Turks, in other words, among the Muslims. Uh-oh. We have been hospitable. We have done everything for them. We invited them in our homes, and now they hate us. Why? Why, he said. He kept asking that question. Why? And he explained in this book who Jesus really is from the Old Testament. You'll discover that this book really is a book that explains to the Jews. Now, that's harsh terms, and I'm sure Jews will say, boy, Martin Luther didn't like the Jews very much. But if they studied this book, they would find out how their own rabbis have lied to them. How their own rabbis have lied to them. And Martin Luther is just trying to teach them of Jesus Christ and what Christians really are and about Christ's love for them and the fact that Jesus was indeed and is their Messiah, that he really is in heaven, that he died for them on the cross, that they can trust the New Testament. And they have the new covenant of Jesus Christ. All these things, Martin Luther, he is the greatest apologist I've ever seen. You know what an apologist is? An apologist is somebody who quote-unquote, apologizes for the Bible, which doesn't really mean that he says, I'm sorry for it. What he does is say, no, it's correct. And here I'm going to prove to you exactly why. That's what he does. So you get in this book not only a criticism of the Jews, an explanation of how they lied to you, but you also get into it, get in this book, the reason that Jesus is truly Christ and Messiah. That's what you get from this book. That's why I loved it so much. And I want you to have your copy. Again, $20. You can order it on our website, powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. Use your charge card there, your PayPal. Powerofprophecy.com. It's On the Jews and Their Lies by Martin Luther. Or you can phone us here toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can write to us now at Power of Prophecy or text Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N, Road, Austin, Texas. A-U-S-T-I-N, Texas, 78733. Martin Luther, On the Jews and Their Lies. And now let's return to our regular program, Power of Prophecy. Hey, before we get back into Martin Luther's book here, I wanted to tell you about our children's home. Our children's home. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to give to the kids. Now, there are about 100 kids there. They're boys and girls. And I guess there's a few of them there that are in their the arms, but most of them are like 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, 12, and they do great things. It's a Christian place, they don't favor one group or another, but I'm just trying to tell you that they're biblical. Now we've given all the kids a Bible free, make sure that they all have a King James Bible, but they need other things. They need clothes. They need school supplies. And we want you to help them. And I'll tell you the truth, it's a privilege to help these kids. It really is. It's a privilege. When somebody writes to me and says, Tex, would you pray for me? I don't say, oh, another prayer. I hadn't got time. I'm just so busy. I don't do that at all. Why? This person has written to me, Tex Mars, and said, please pray for me. He has given me an opportunity to pray. That's a precious privilege I have. And let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a secret. I know I'm off the track here today. I'm sorry, but I'm just give you a little secret here about prayer. Prayer changes things. And when you help these kids, I'm telling you, your gifts, I don't care if it's $1 or $5 or $20 or 50 or 100 or 1,000, your gift will change things. If you'll pray for these kids, when you give this gift, it will change things. These kids, well, they had bad parents, most of them. Not all their parents, but some of them. Some of their parents beat them. That's why they ended up in this children's home. And some are in prison and all that. It's a bad situation, but let me tell you, they know when they get this gift from us. They know when they get these Bibles and these gifts. They know who's doing it, and they remember it. and your prayers for them, for these kids, your prayers are inhabited by God. Now, that sounds strange to you. God inhabits, that's in the Bible, that's in the Old Testament. God inhabits the prayers of the saints. He inhabits them. How can that be? You see, God is not made of human flesh. God is a spirit. And we've got to worship him in truth and in spirit. That's what it says in John 3:3. And God, as a spirit, can inhabit anything he wants. People say, how about idols? Does the devil inhabit them? Yes, he can. He can go and live in that idol. That's why Paul says that. He said an idol is really nothing in and of itself, but devils. It's a habitation for devils. And your prayers are the habitation of God. God lives in your prayers. I don't know how he does it. I mean, I don't know how there can be Jesus and God, and they're both one, but they are. And the Holy Spirit, too. It's all one. But they're also separate. There's three, and they're one. They're one. People ask me about that all the time. They are one. Yes, the Bible says so. 1 John says that they're one, and they are. But Jesus came to earth, and he prayed to the Father in heaven. Yes, that's right. Well, I don't understand that. Well, I don't care about your understanding. I'm telling you what the Bible says. There's a lot of things in physics, quantum physics, and the greater sciences that our scientists have no idea of. They can't even understand. They're finding out now the universe is much larger than they thought it would be. And they're finding out even Albert Einstein's theories are all wet. We're all wrong. There's a greater science than man knows about, friends. And God inhabits prayers. Why don't you pray for him? Pray for these kids. Pray for your own needs. Pray for your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones. And your prayers don't just go out there in space and vanish forever. No, they're living things. Prayers live on. And God inhabits them. They're like a temple. They're like a house to him. It's an amazing thing, I'll tell you. But believe me, God inhabits the prayers of the saints. It's in the Old Testament. It's true. That's it. So, you want to give a donation or a love gift, an offering to Power Prophecy Ministries? You want to designate a part of it to the children? Just say, text, here's $20 for the children, here's $5, here's $100. I don't care what it is. It doesn't have to be a big amount. We're going to write your name down. We're going to write everybody's name down. And I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to thank God for your giving. I want to thank God for your giving. And I'm going to thank God that God has given us the opportunity, not the obligation, not the responsibility, but the opportunity to give to these children. Text the Children Home. Just write to us. Now, our ministry, we need gifts too. We need love gifts. We need to keep on going. But you give to whichever one you want to give this month. Power of Prophecy. But if you want to give to the children, make sure you let us know. It doesn't have to be made out to the children. Just make it out to Power of Prophecy or to Text Mars. But in that little bitty blog where it says four on the check, write for children. For children. Or send me an extra note. Say, this is for the children. And we'll keep your name down, and every cent will go to the children, okay? That's a pact we make with each other, isn't it, friends? And we keep our pacts. We do. All right. We're talking about Martin Luther's great book on the Jews and their lies. $20, $25 shipping and handling. And it's the only place you can get the unabridged edition here in English. I don't even know if it's offered in Germany anymore. Probably is not. I don't even know if you can get it in the... They don't even study this book in the seminaries. I've called around the Bible schools. Nobody studies it. Maybe I should send a copy to every seminary in America. They say, ooh, it's an anti-Semite book. That's what they do. They wouldn't even read the book. They wouldn't even know what he's trying to do. He's trying to defend Jesus Christ against lies. Isn't that a worthy goal, my friends? You know, I was studying the Word of God recently. He says they deny Jesus Christ. The Jews deny Christ. That's the most terrible thing he says. Now Luke 12:9 says, he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. You deny Jesus Christ, he will deny you in heaven. That's pretty severe. Well, they have their own covenant. They have the Jewish covenant, don't they? Didn't Moses get a covenant? And wasn't that, don't you remember that? Sure, they don't need Jesus, do they? They've denied him, and that's okay, isn't it? Well, Luke said it was not okay. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, it says, this is Jesus Christ speaking here, he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Jesus is before the angels of God. And when they bring your name up, Jewish friend, Jesus will say, I never knew him. He's not mine. He didn't come in at the gate. He's not one of my sheep. And listen, as far as they're telling these lies about the Old Testament and about the prophecies of the Messiah of Jesus coming to prove that Jesus is the Messiah, here's what it says in Ezekiel. See, God even prophesied that they would do that. He said there will be lying prophets. In Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 6 says, they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent thee. And they've made others to hope. They've told lies. And they made others to hope. I was listening on YouTube to this Jewish rabbi. He said, we Jews have the hope of the Messiah coming. And I wanted to say, the hope. He said, we Jews have the hope of our Savior's coming, of our Messiah's coming. I wanted to scream at the man, your Messiah's already come. He lives in the world today. He's everywhere. You can reach out to him right now. But they've denied him. They rejected him. They have hope. They have no hope, friends. No hope. But they believe they have hope. And if you as a Christian have given them hope that they can be saved through their own covenant, you have brought them a lie. And you're going to be damned for saying that. You can't tell a Jew you don't need Jesus. Don't tell a Jew that. Don't tell anybody that you don't need Jesus. That's wrong. They do need him. Ezekiel 13:22 says, because with lies ye have strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. You should promise the Jews life. That's what Martin Luther's doing here. He's promising them life. And you should not, it says here, because with lies ye have strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked ways. Well, Martin Luther said, don't let it be on our conscience. Yes, I am being harsh to the Jews. Yes, I believe we should burn all their prayer books. Is that harsh, he says? Think about the harsh things that will occur to them when they die and go to hell. In 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, but these speak evil of the things they understand not. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. You can't promise a Jew liberty and deny him Christ Jesus. You can't do that. But these speak evil of the things that they understand not. I've had all the Christians write to me and call me an anti-Semite, and they say, Tex Mars, the Jews don't need our covenant. They have their own covenant. Tex Mars, the Jews will all be saved because it says in the Bible, and so all Israel will be saved. You've taken that out of context, friends. You've just condemned them to hell, claiming that they don't need Jesus for salvation. But Jesus is their salvation. In fact, it says in Galatians 6, verse 16, he accomplished the salvation of Israel. That's what he died on the cross for. And when he died, he said, it is finished. He accomplished the salvation of Israel. In fact, he died for the whole world, all the nations of the world, including Israel. And if you become a Christian, you're made a citizen of Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. That's true. When Jesus was born, a prophet named Simeon encountered the Christ child and said, for mine eyes have seen the salvation. He was a very pious and good believer in God. And he said, before I die, let me see the Christ child. Let me know that our Savior has come. And he was brought to Jesus as a little child. and he saw the Christ child. And God spoke to his heart and said, this is the Christ. This is the Messiah I have promised. And he declared, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Think about that. That's what all the Jews should say. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That's what we're to teach them to say. That's what Martin Luther wanted the Jews to know. But they said, no, we will not have this man to rule over us. Crucify him. Crucify him. Now, believers today, evangelicals are committing a horrible sin. They're helping the Jews escape from the truth. They're saying, no, we know you don't need Christ. You just keep doing your good works. That'll be good. They say, that'll redeem you. You'll get redemption through your works, through Moses, through the law. But Jesus made it so that the law is written in our hearts. It's written in your heart, dear friend. The law is written in your heart. You will understand what you have to do because the Holy Spirit will live in you. This is one of the things that people don't understand. They want to go to Israel. They want to help the Jews to rebuild their temple. Listen, you are the temple. You are the temple of the living Christ. You are lively stones, it says. He is the cornerstone. He is the headstone. You are part of the temple of God. That's the very temple of God. And it's not built with human hands, but without human hands by Christ Jesus. Now, God tells about being hot, cold, and lukewarm in the book of Revelation. He said, you're not cold. You're certainly not hot. You're lukewarm. I wish that you were cold or hot. See, when you're cold, God, he can work with you. He can work with the biggest prostitute, with the worst drunkard, with the biggest drug user in the world. If you're cold, he can work with you. Reach out to him. He'll work with you. But if you're hot, well, great. If you're on fire for Jesus, well, good for you. But if you're cold, he'll work with you. He'll deal with you. He'll say you're living in sin, you're doing wrong, but I can save you. I can redeem you. I'm your salvation. But if you're lukewarm, if you don't really care, if you're indifferent, if you don't care enough to tell the Jews Jesus is your only Messiah, then, well, you're lukewarm. And it says in the book of prophecy, Revelation, that God will spit you, he will spew you. In fact, out of his mouth. That's a horrible fate, friends. If you're lukewarm, you can't, you're neither hot nor you're cold, you're just lukewarm. Now, most of you are like that, aren't you? A few are hot, a fewer, maybe more are cold, but most are just lukewarm. Yeah, I believe that, but I'm too busy. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You're going to be spewed out of God's mouth, and it will happen before you know it. It will happen in an instant, in a second. It'll be too late. God will deny you. You denied him. You were lukewarm. He'll spew you out of his mouth. Martin Luther, on the Jews and their lies. It's a truthful book, and that's why we published it. Well, this is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My great prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.